shares, up 2.2% from the previous quarter and 8.3% from a year ago. Households added $351 billion in debt for the July to September period, the regulators said. The increase follows a $310 billion leap in the second quarter and represents an annual rise of $1.27 trillion. Debt has surged over the past year due to soaring inflation, rising interest rates, and a strong consumer demand. The central bank noted that the biggest contributors to the debt load came from mortgage balances, which skyrocketed by $1 trillion from a year ago to $11.7 trillion, and credit card debt, which climbed to $930 billion. The credit card balance collectively rose more than 15% from the same period in 2021, the largest annual jump in more than 20 years. According to Fed researchers, the increase towers over the last 18 years of data. Credit card, mortgage, and auto loan balances continued to increase in the third quarter of 2022, reflecting a combination of robust consumer demand and higher prices, said economic research advisor at the New York Fed, Douglin Lee. However, new mortgage organizations have slowed to pre-pandemic levels amid rising interest rates. CNBC also said U.S. households increased debt during the third quarter as the fastest pace in 15 years due to hefty increases in credit card usage and mortgage balances. Total debt jumped by $351 billion for the July to September period, the largest nominal quarterly increase since 2007, bringing the collective household IOU in the U.S. to a fresh record, $16.5 trillion. That's an increase of 2.2% from the previous quarter and 8.3% from a year ago. The increase follows a $310 billion jump in the second quarter and represents a $1.27 trillion annual increase. Debt has surged over the past year due to inflation running near its highest pace in more than 40 years and amid rising interest rates and a strong consumer demand. The biggest contributors to that debt load came from mortgage balances, which rose $1 trillion from a year ago to $11.7 trillion, and credit card debt, which climbed to $930 billion. The credit card balance collectively rose more than 15% from the same period in 2021, the largest annual jump in more than 20 years. The increase towers over the last 18 years of data, a group of Fed researchers said in a blog post on the central bank site. Along with the rise in balances has come an increase in delinquencies. However, while delinquency rates are rising, they remain low by historical standards and suggest consumers are managing their finances through the period of increasing prices, the researchers noted. Elsewhere in the report, the Fed said auto loan balances edged higher to $1.52 trillion, while student loan debt notched lower to $1.57 trillion. Student loan debt is the lowest since the second quarter of 2021 amid an extended period of forbearance and the Biden administration's delay in attempting to forgive some education loan debt. Auto loan debt, while posting only a slight increase on a quarterly basis, is up 5.6% from a year ago. Mortgage balances continue to grind higher amid a sharp increase in interest rates, and that has seen 30-year mortgages, loan rates hover around 7%. Total debt climbed even though organizations fell sharply, dropping nearly 17% to $633 billion. Foreclosures remained low even as a pandemic-related moratorium expired. Student loan delinquent rates remained around 4%.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint,
a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speakers in the studio, as always, Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah. Sister Asma, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam, thank you very much for having me here.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. In these, actually, series of episodes and the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio, we are trying to criticize movies with religious themes. Well, not necessarily artistically speaking. And for that, you know, we have actually decided to work on today and hopefully in the upcoming episodes to work on and criticize the movie Father Stu, which is produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross and starring several big names in Hollywood, such as Mark Wahlberg, Mel Gibson, and Teresa Ruiz. But before dealing with, let's say, this movie, and it's a short storyline, let's take a listen to a short trailer, and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
I figured it out.
Yeah, seventh time's a charm.
I'm being an actor.
Oh, God. You don't belong with those LA folks. They're a bunch of fascist hippies.
What brings you here?
And I figured no better place to be discovered than the supermarket.
Hey, did I see you on a television series?
You do movies? You don't work in the entertainment industry at all?
No, man.
You still know you're fussing with this truck?
I'm a son. I'm just borrowing it.
I reckon it's a few months worth of cleanups on aisle four to pay off a DUI impound.
What can I get for you, miss? I got beef.
I can see that.
Hey! Hey!
Let's not waste either of our time. I'm a Catholic.
Well, ain't that what confession's for?
You can't date someone who isn't baptized.
I thought you was gonna say Hispanic. Where's the water? I'll do it now.
I know I'm not what you used to. And not what you deserve either.
Life's gonna give you a gut full of reasons to be angry. You only need one to be grateful.
Oh, shit!
Back to the program, Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. We are trying to start actually criticizing the movie Father Stew, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. The whole story is about, let's say, an amateur boxing career, when there is an injury ending his career, Stuart Long, I'm talking about, moves to LA or Los Angeles to find money and fame. While scrapping by as a supermarket clerk, he meets Carmen, a Sunday school teacher, who seems immune to his, bad boy charm. Determined to win her over, the longtime agnostic starts going to church to impress her. However, a motorcycle accident leaves him wondering if he can use his second chance to help others, leading to the surprising realization that he's meant to be a Catholic priest. Let me start with you, Sayyid Abdullah. How did you like this movie, given the approval rating of 43% by the Rotten Tomatoes, with an average rating of 5.3 out of 10, and also we have a cinema score giving this movie an average grade of A on an A-plus to F scale. How did you like this movie?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It was a fairly light, easy movie. I mean, it's not the type of movie that you would want to get a popcorn and a drink over. It's one of these movies that you would watch whenever you have extra time, I guess. It's just, it was light, the acting was really good. I mean, that what made it more
especially
watchable.
Mark Wahlberg's performance was great.
So the performance of Mark Wahlberg and even Mel Gibson, it gave it that, it made it watchable. If it was any other character, I would not have watched it because it would have been like one of these corny movies.
I see.
So that which I would try to avoid. But because of these two characters, it made the movie more watchable, more, I wouldn't say entertaining in a sense, but it kept you going, wanted to know what the story happens. And the story kept having, changing events from one time to another. So it kept you going. Not one of these movies that bore you to death kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it was, like I said, it was a lighthearted movie, if I could say the least.
I see. Sister Asma, how about you? Given Rotten Tomatoes and Cinema's scores, and in addition to those rating, we also have the Metacritic, rating, which assigned this movie a weighted average score of 40 out of 100. So did you like this movie?
Yes, of course. I liked it a lot. And I think it was a very good movie. It was captivating. And you just wanted to know what is going to happen to him in the end. You was very eager to understand what is the plan for his future.
I see.
Because that was very nice, I guess. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Okay. Let's take a short break by listening to part of this movie, and then we'll be back and talking about and criticizing this movie. Don't go away.
Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Brother Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma helping me in the critique of this movie in this program. Well, we are talking about Father Stew, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. You know, in this part, Sayyid Abdullah, you know, there is this priest reciting a piece for confession of sins. What's confession, you know, if you want to just break it down to our listeners, especially those who are not familiar with the principle and the concept or the notion of, you know, confession? Is it logical from other aspects or other religious studies aspects, I mean? Like, for example, from the perspective of Islam, how do we or the Muslims look at confession in the first place?
Okay, from a Christian perspective, in Christianity, they have what they call confession. And confession, the word speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
So confession is basically wherever you commit, whatever sins you do, it doesn't matter how big they are.
Right.
Even if it's genocide, you go to a box and there's a priest and you speak out your heart, you say, I committed so and so. And the father would give you a green card of redemption. He says, mm-hmm. okay, your sins are forgiven. And then you walk out of that box a free man kind of thing. So mm-hmm. the priest in this regard, he acts literally as God because mm-hmm. he's forgiven all his sins. I mean, who has given you such authority to forgive people's sins?
Exactly.
But nevertheless, I'm not going to debate this notion itself, but the idea is that you confine your sins to someone else and that someone else gives you the green card of forgiveness. So this is from a Christian perspective. From a Muslim perspective, though, it's a completely different idea, like a different notion.
How different?
In Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes on the fact that your sins are solely between you and Him. And you have no right, and you're not authorized to submit or tell your sins to any other human being. In fact, if you do, that itself is a sin.
You're talking about the sins that involve only you and God, not
any sort of sin.
What about the sins that you do injustice to some other creatures or people?
No, we're not going to debate the fact of that's a punishment aspect. But for example, I am a good person. I mean, I'm not evil man. So sometimes I backbite a person or I cheat or I lie, even if it's with other people. But the rest of the people don't know what I've done with you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now, it's a sin. Now, if I have to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask for repentance, I should come to Allah Himself and repent to Him.
But when you backbite somebody else, it involves another person and you have to go in public and come clean with or
come
regarding
clean
that
with that person himself. See, because if we wanted to go into that field of sins themselves, because each sin is classified on its own. There are sins which are considered to be between you and yourself,
right.
Sins between you and Allah, and sins between you and people.
Mm-hmm.
The sins that between you and people, sometimes you have a requirement to go tell them personally that I said this about you in terms of backbiting.
If the consequences are not going to be worse than what you have just done.
Of course. So each sin, like I said, you have to deal with it differently. So for example, if you've stolen something, you have to return it.
Right.
In returning it, I don't necessarily need to tell you that I stole it from you. I could say, look, this money belongs to you, you know, from someone who took it from you. I don't have to say it's me. But for example, with backbiting, I have
does
to tell
do
you.
Does it do the job?
Huh?
Like, does it do the job?
As long
does
as
it
you
absolve
return.
You of the sin
No.
committed?
So first you have, there are two things involved. Like the same thing that we have in our criminal court system now. If you have a problem with the person, first you have, if the person forgives you, that's one thing. And then the government themselves, they say we have what they call you have transgressed against the law itself.
Mm-hmm.
So even if that person forgives you, the law will take course and you'll have to be fined or punished for that as well. So
I
the
see.
Sentence becomes a lot reduced,
mm-hmm.
but it's still need to pay.
Right.
With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same. I can make a mistake by you. First, I have to ask for your forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You forgive me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, fine, but you still committed a sin itself. So you need to...
I hold you responsible for committing
exactly.
that
so
sin.
Exactly. So you need to make amends with that sin that you've done yourself.
I see.
So it works in that way. But nevertheless, the idea we have when it comes to Christianity and Islam, they're completely different in this regard. Whatever sins you have, you're not allowed to confine it or say it or express it to any human being.
What about psychological yourself. Consequences? Like when, for example, you go somewhere, like you find, for example, a shoulder to cry on and you come clean to that person and then you feel relieved all of a sudden. So what about this psychological effect that it has.
In terms of sins, no. In terms of emotional, yes. I can confide to anyone. I can find any crying shoulder, like you said, and I can pour my heart out, which we all do as a human being.
Exactly.
We all have a person or two that we tell them our problems
and we also
and
have
issues.
Psychiatrists and psychologists
exactly.
refer to it, especially when...
Yeah. Yeah, I've been
we are
to,
not,
I've
we
been
are
to those myself.
To sins, of course.
Yeah, but in terms of sins, because between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, between you and the Creator, it needs to stay there.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Because what happens is if you take it outside and you tell people, that will damage your image.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is very important for him, especially for a mu'min, a believing man or a woman, that they maintain their image.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what they committed. So what you committed in secrecy or in privacy or with other people that people do not know about, keep it to yourself between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. Allah can expose you if he wants, but he's not. Because he's giving you time to repent and come back
mm-hmm.
rather than just expose you.
I see.
In Islam is actually the opposite. Islam says conceal your sins,
right.
Keep it between you and Allah. A Christianity says no. Come forward, say whatever you want, and we will relieve you of your burden.
Thank you.
Which is quite a big difference.
I see. Sister Asma, just along with that notion, the notion of confession, as a typical person, individually mm-hmm. speaking, do you think that it does you any good if you confess, for example, to a person, just like us?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Regardless of whether they have, for example, studied religion mm-hmm. or otherwise, can a father, in other words, absolve us from our sins?
Mm-hmm. Well, just the way you mentioned, psychologically speaking, I would say yes, it has got some healing effect on you. But according to what we know about ourselves and about human beings in general, we could say that human dignity is more important than anything else for you, yourself, and for God.
Mm-hmm.
So from the perspective of humanity, I would say it is sometimes good to bear your soul out to others. But of course, after some time, you would feel regretful for what you did.
Mm-hmm.
So at the first place, it would have some healing effects on you, but it's not going to last for so long.
Mm-hmm.
The only person you can just bear your soul for is God.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
There's always like a hint of guilt. Now, the thing with the Christianity, because they made it, like the sister said, they told people that we are authority of God.
Yes,
so if
true.
You come to us, tell us your problems or your sins, and we'll relieve you of them. So they do actually feel good afterwards,
yes,
because they look at them as the authority.
Yeah.
So it's the same like me going to Allah saying, oh, Allah, forgive me. Allah says, okay, forgiven.
Yeah.
When I walk out, I'm going to walk out free.
Uh-huh.
So because they put it in their mind that they are authority,
yes,
and they look at it
true.
As authority, so it does help them in this mm-hmm. regard.
And it led them to some corruptions because they were asking for money in order to repent those sins.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay, that's another story then.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah. Thank you for listening to the program Viewpoint. We were trying to criticize the movie Father Stu, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone. Let us contemplate upon what the leader of the pious and the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, has said about the vicissitudes of life. Opportunity passes away like the cloud moving in the sky. Therefore, make use of good opportunities.
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
It's always a tricky task to remember people's names at a party, but not in this particular gathering in Tokyo, where all the guests had the exact same name, Hirokazu Tanaka. 178 Hirokazu Tanakas came together on Saturday to set a new namesake gathering world record. Their ages spanned from 3 years old to 80. The Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of people with the same first and last name previously belonged to Martha Stewart. 164 people with that name came together in New York in 2005. In the Tanaka's gathering, every man was assigned an alias inspired by their hobbies, occupation, or favorite foods to tell them apart from others. One nicknamed by his birthplace says, "It's strange to meet so many people with the same name." Obviously.
It's a strange feeling to know that there are nearly 200 people with the same name. To be honest, I'd presume there are more popular names out there like Suzuki and Sato. This achievement is really because of the efforts of our organizer.
The man who organized this gathering is a 53-year-old Hirokazu Tanaka who has worked for years to make this happen. He says his quest began in 1994 when he stumbled upon news about a baseball prodigy with the same name. After that, he began tirelessly scouring the nation for his namesakes. He then founded the Hirokazu Tanaka campaign that brought the men together and created a strange friendship among them.
Iran is famous for its hand-knotted carpets and ancient art which have been loved for centuries and are never going out of style despite changing tastes and increased competition from Asia. Striking geometric shapes that recall 20th century abstract art are what we expect to see in handmade Iranian rugs. But weavers and exporters have been forced to redesign a tradition dating back more than 2,000 years due to numerous problems. Carpet exporter Ahad Azimzadeh says, however, that a revolution is underway. Iranian rugs are known for dense, curving floral designs in rich colors. They were put on display in a recent exhibition that featured a rug with small squares of hypnotic diagonal blue and white lines and another depicting diamond and other patterns in gold silk. Some countries have overtaken Iran in the global market, but many say modern carpets will never replace the traditional ones, which are deep-rooted in Iranian culture.
Thousands of baby turtles have been released into Peru's Amazon basin in an attempt to preserve the rainforest's ecosystem. More than 6,000 hatchlings of three endangered species of turtles have been released into lakes and lagoons in Peru to help them repopulate. To make this happen, wildlife officials collected the eggs from their natural habitat and transferred them to artificial beaches until they hatched. The river turtles are considered vulnerable because for many years they have been killed for human consumption or kept as pets. Scientists are currently trying to conserve the Amazon to avoid catastrophic climate change, and Peru has the second largest share of the rainforest after Brazil. Another world record news. This time it has been set in Switzerland. A Swiss railway company has run the world's longest passenger train with a trip on one of the most spectacular tracks through the Alps. To celebrate its 175th anniversary, Switzerland's rail industry launched the world's longest ever passenger train, measuring around 2 kilometers. The electric train took almost an hour to cover around 25 kilometers over the UNESCO World Heritage Albula Line in eastern Switzerland. The Albula Line is famous for its endless swooping curves and steep descents. Rail enthusiasts lined the valley to watch the train's 100 cars snake through the Alps. Belgium and the Netherlands were the previous record holders for the world's longest passenger train. They used standard railway through the flat landscapes.
After repeated failed attempts, NASA has eventually launched this moon rocket on its debut flight. NASA's next generation moon rocket blasted off from Florida, marking the start of the space agency's new program dubbed Artemis. An uncrewed Orion spaceship is fixed to the top of the 32-story tall Space Launch System rocket. It will be separated for a 25-day voyage around the moon and back without astronauts aboard. It was the third time after two previous launch attempts were cancelled for technical reasons. If the mission succeeds, a crewed Artemis II will orbit around the moon but not land on the surface in 2024. The third Artemis mission, scheduled for 2025, will be the first to put astronauts on the moon since Apollo's mission about 5 decades ago.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Iran has hosted an international student scientific contest dubbed Noor or Light. The annual event seeks to promote science among children and scout for child prodigies. Yusuf Jalali has the story.
They have only 1 minute to present a scientific idea in their homemade clips. Over 1,300 teenage science enthusiasts from 19 countries participated in Iran's Noor competition, a scientific contest for school students. The fifth edition of the event was themed with optical illusion and mathematical modeling. The top 100 videos were awarded during this closing ceremony in Tehran.
My work is titled The Bouncing Ball. We painted a long oval and a shadow under it. When we film it from a certain angle, it takes the shape of a levitating ball.
Our work is about an optical illusion. We created a set of conjoining cylinders that appeared to change shape in the mirror. The idea was first created by a Japanese engineer in 2016.
The most creative videos win the prize. They should be both educational and mind-blowing, like this floating Rubik's Cube, which appears to be levitating, but then turns out to be just an origami work.
We have two levels of the competition. One is the kind of general competition for the crowd, and many students can contribute on that, in that. And we have other level, which is for elite. And in that level, we have more sophisticated competition between elite.
Organizers say participants in Noor contest are not supposed to make breakthroughs. The main goal, they say, is to engage them in science and let them experience the excitement of scientific experiments.
Try to make these teenagers learn how they can think about science for the welfare of human beings and how they can apply it for them.
Mustafa Science and Technology Foundation is the organizer of this scientific event. The foundation also holds the biennial Mustafa Prize, which awards cash prizes to top scientists from across the Muslim world, whose accomplishments contribute to the welfare of human beings.
Mustafa Science and Technology Foundation, as the organizer of Noor competition, says prodigies are everywhere. They just need to be discovered. It says this contest is a platform that's specially designed to scout for teenage minds and give them a chance to shine. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Chinese aerobatic teams have been performing jaw-dropping stunts to mark the 73rd anniversary of the People's Liberation Army Air Force. Pilots wowed the audience with their complicated maneuvers, such as swooping close to the ground, making loops and rolls. Aerobatic teams use red, yellow and blue smoke trails representing the flag of the Chinese Air Force. The Hong Ying aerobatic team, also known as the Red Eagle, is made up of 10 JL-8 trainer planes and 20 pilots from the Air Force Aviation University. The performance was part of China's International Aviation and Aerospace Exhibition held in southern China. The exhibit typically draws thousands of participants in the field of aviation from countries all over the world. Iran is the land of saffron, and the red gold has earned the country a fortune throughout the centuries. Now Iran's city of Torbat Haydariya has hosted a saffron photography festival as a means to introduce the lucrative product to the world. Yusuf Jalali reports.
Like gold, it is weighed in shekels, not in kilos. And that's why saffron is called the red gold, reflecting how precious it is economically. Torbat Haydariya in northeast Iran is the hub of saffron cultivation in the country, producing an average of 20 million tons of the crop each year. Now the city hosts the Festival of Saffron Photography every year to introduce Iran as the land of saffron and how these hard-working farmers produce the strategic crop.
Photographers present in this festival should use their artistry to shed light on different stages of saffron harvest, all the way to the final product. Everyone knows Iranian saffron, but perhaps few know how it's produced. So this festival highlights this issue using photography.
Photography is a universal language that needs no translation, so their photos can better introduce this strategic plan to the world from unique angles.
This year, Iran exported roughly 300 tons of saffron, generating more than $350 million in income, according to the data provided by the Ministry of Agriculture. Experts believe Iran could have a much higher share of the global trade of saffron if it pays better attention to branding and marketing of the product.
Due to favorable weather conditions, Iranian saffron is unique in the world, but unfortunately, in many countries, it's smuggled in bulk and is packaged under foreign brands and then sold at higher prices. If we can brand it inside Iran, then we can export it more efficiently.
The young farm owner says his saffron is exported to Europe and the Middle East, despite the restrictions caused by U.S. sanctions on Iran. But more than the U.S. measures, he's concerned about the impact of climate change on saffron cultivation, warning of what he calls saffron immigration from his city, if authorities remain idle.
Unfortunately, saffron is gradually leaving our region and moving to western parts of Iran. This is due to changes in weather conditions and declining rainfall here. If the government helps farmers with modification of planting patterns, we can stop this disaster.
Over the past 2 years, Iran has expanded its cultivation area for saffron to 115,000 hectares, nearly 20 times more than the entire worldwide land dedicated to the crop. While the Iranian red gold is mainly cultivated in the northeastern Khorasan province, other parts of the country, including Khuzestan and Chaharmahal Bakhtiari, are also fertile for saffron farming.
For centuries, saffron has been a key word in Iran's economy, and still is today. Now, Saffron Photography Festival says many know Iran by its red gold, but through the photos shot here, they will get a glimpse of the mesmerizing saffron farms in Iran and how this amazing crop is produced. Yusuf Jalali from the saffron farms in the suburbs of Torbat Haydariya.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Rabbitu billahi rabba wa bil islami.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio from Iran. Be with us. The topic that which today we're going to concern about is importance of secrecy. I mean, keeping things secret in Islamic viewpoint. So be with us.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Today, Friday, is the 30th of Rabiul Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri Calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Azar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri Calendar, and the 25th of November, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. This is Surah Al-Hujurat, verse 12.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Ya ayyuha الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَّحِيمٌ
O you who have believed, avoid much negative assumption. Indeed, some assumption is sin. And do not spy or backbite each other. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his brother when dead? You would detest it. And fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is accepting of repentance and merciful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse in question treats of factors perturbing the peace and brotherhood amongst believers, among which mention may be made of suspicious, prying, and backbiting. It is worthy of note that the Holy Quran recommends believers to entertain good intentions towards others and refrain from entertaining suspicion about others. The Arabic word غيبة designates talking behind someone's back without people being aware of the same, and it happens to be offensive to the person being backbiten.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
Importance of secrecy, keeping things secret in Islam is the discussion, is the center in this episode of today's special. Islam, by expressing the restrictions related to privacy, defined the actions causing its violation and prohibits people from doing them and considers punishments for those committing such actions.
One of the moral greatness in the instructions of Islam is the characteristic of covering others' fault. The importance of this good characteristic is to that extent that the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny states, anyone who notices an unfavorable and disgraceful deed from his religious brother and keeps it covered, Allah the Almighty covers his faults both in this world and the world hereafter. Keeping a person's reputation by covering and not revealing his fault from others, according to Islam's perspective, is a chivalry of fault covering the person.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. This is Ali, your host, from IRB English Radio, and we shall be with you, inshallah, in our today's show, with our topic that is secrecy and how to keep secrets. Every person, every family, and every organization and society have more or less secrets and information that others should not be aware of, because revealing it to others may cause great harm and troubles. So what is important in that revealing secrets is due to the weakness of the ego and the weakness of the intellect. Secrets of a person are not outside of two states, either they express the state of prosperity or a good outcome, or it tells about misfortune and failure. Secrecy is good in both cases, because if a secret informs about the state and prosperity of a person, its disclosure will cause the enmity of ill wishers and the envy of the people of the time, and the expectation of the people of greed and fears. So all in all, anyone who does not keep his own secrets cannot keep the secrets of others. And we have learned it even from the language of the infallibles, as Imam Ali alayhi salam said, and we referred to it earlier. And again, in this regard, he says, a person who cannot keep his own secrets cannot keep the secrets of others. It's not fair to uncover whatever has been told to you. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Why we keep so many secrets, whom you should and should not tell. Confiding secrets can be liberating and may reduce emotional distress. It affords one an opportunity to talk through painful problems or memories. But whom do you tell? Because secrets, by nature, are personal and sometimes painful, having confidence in your confidant is key. However, seeking an audience that is both respective and reliable, as well as attentive and trustworthy, is easier said than done. When sharing information, casual acquaintances are probably not your first choice, and long gone is the stranger on a train, someone we never expected to see again. Nowadays, you meet people in pools, and you connect via social space. Consider the people you know. If you can envision one or more candidates, then you have an excellent support system. Then again, you may have such a delicate secret that no one comes to mind. This part, we'll look at how to keep a secret, avoiding the topic. Change the conversation topic, dear friend, if necessary. If you are talking to someone who mentions something related to the secret, you may need to change the topic of conversation. Or continuing to talk about something that reminds you of the secret will put it in the front of your mind and may tempt you to tell. Or try to change the subject casually so that the person does not notice that you are avoiding telling her something. If necessary, find a reason to leave. Sometimes removing yourself from the conversation is the only way to keep quiet.
Keeping a secret and respecting the secret of others, as opposed to prying into them, is a virtue related to self-discipline and sensitivity. Those who lack understanding cannot guard a secret, and those who do not care about the consequences of words and actions cannot be considered discreet. It is usually wiser not to relate your private concerns to others, especially if they are unattractive, offensive, or lacking in merit. To do so can embarrass loved ones and delight enemies, and have other unpleasant consequences as well. Hearts are created as safes for keeping secrets. Intelligence is their lock. Willpower is their key. No one can break into the safe and steal its valuables if the lock or key are not faulty. Allahu Akbar. Bear in mind that those who carry others' secrets to you might bear yours to others. Do not give such tactless people any chance to learn even the smallest details of your private concerns. If you entrust another secret to someone who previously disclosed one, your lack of perception and poor judgment in choosing a confidant is plain for all to see. One whose own heart is firm on this matter and who is vigilant cannot be deceived and seduced repeatedly in this way. There are secrets related to the person, the family, and the nation. By disclosing a personal secret, you are interfering with a person's honor. By disclosing a family secret, you are interfering with a family's honor. And by disclosing a national secret, you are interfering with the nation's honor. A secret is a power only as long as it stays with its owner. But it is a weapon that may be used against its owner if it passes into the hands of others.
I'm sure you agree with me, it's a nice topic to discuss, to know more about it. So inshallah, we'll continue on the next episode of today's special. Till then, that is tomorrow. Allah keep all of you sound and safe. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي
إمامي علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.